evening, good evening, good evening. And Pastor is, I believe Pastor is watching online. We thank God for Pastor, Pastor Fola, for Pastor Wura. And we thank God for Johnny Mercy's. Pastor will be back with us on Sunday. And yeah. Are we ready? Okay, it's going to be a very quick one. I'm just going to be building on the foundation that has been laid by my lovely brother, Uncle Zipe. He has gone ahead, and for that which Pastor also taught us two Sundays ago. Just something very simple for us to be able to look at, and I'm going to be looking out from the perspective of our own will. And what are we meant to do to be able to align our will to the will of God? What do we do to align our will to the will of God? I mean, something happened on Sunday. I told Ayo ahead of time that I'm going to say it. So sorry, Ayo. And it really touched me. I shared with Uncle AY, and it really pained him also. Sorry, Ayo. It's not just Ayo, it was Shion Fumi, really, and Noah. They orchestrated this in the Light Church. So I happened to fellowship with the Light Church on Sunday. And as soon as we got into the Light Church, Noah stood at the door and he gave each person a mustard seed. A mustard seed. He said, hold on to it. We would use it during the service and you would know what it is. So a mustard seed is like very small. I mean, we know that from the Bible. A lot of us have not seen it. That was the first time I was seeing a mustard seed. So they didn't tell me it was a mustard seed. I later realized it was a mustard seed. So that pained me even more because it had a biblical significance. So I held it between my thumb and my index finger. And it's a lot of work for you to be able to hold that seed there, because you're trying to concentrate on what is happening and you're trying not to lose the seed. So after doing that for like 20 minutes during the service, it was a lot of work and all. So I had this book on my side, so I just kept it on my book and I continued to follow the service. And like 10 minutes later, a lovely lady came around with a very lovely voice. Ayo. She said, oh, excuse me. I said, oh, yeah, yeah. Because I was listening to Shion Fumi. Shion Fumi was talking about the parable of the sower. And this was something that was, I love the parable of the sower, right? So I was really engrossed. in it. So she came up and she said, by the way, where's your seed? I said, yeah, yeah, like, I'm keeping my seed. My seed is, like, here. He said, if you are struggling to keep it, I can help you keep it. And she had this cup. And I was, like, focused. And I said, okay. So I just picked it. And it dropped in the cup. And you could hear that sound in the cup. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And she went around and spoke to many people. So I thought she was actually being kind to everybody. Until when, in the middle of the service, Shion Fumi now said, okay, if you have your seat, just raise up your hand and just, and it was only like two of us or so that had the seat. And I was like, Ayo, my seat. And she just smiled from her seat. And she picked her own and raised hers up. And Uncle Ayo was there, but Uncle Ayo didn't left when the test came. So I told him, because he also dropped his seed. That was really painful. And then Shion Fumi was like, what was the instruction that was given to you at the beginning when Noah gave you the seed? He said, hold on to this seed. We are going to use it at a later point in the service. And throughout this week, I never got over it. Because the reality is, that is what we do with the word of the Lord. It's a tiny seed. It's difficult for me to handle. If I manage to plant it in my heart, it becomes a tree, which becomes big. But at the seed level, when it's just that word of God that's come, and you're watching over it, it's a bit uncomfortable sometimes because it's small, it's tiny. God has sent a word to us, his will, his testament. And he said, you'll be the head and not the tail. Something very small. I am your shepherd. And you are holding on to that, I am your shepherd. And then the activities of life come on. You are so busy, engrossed, holding that, I'm your shepherd. Then after a while, you're like, okay, this seed is a bit of a struggle. You put it down somewhere. Then after a while, the enemy comes around. And he comes with a very lovely voice. Like Ayo's voice. And the funny thing is, Ayo's voice, Ayo means enjoyment. I was telling her this morning. So, which means the pleasures of life would come. The enjoyment of life would come. And demand that seed from you. And the question is, how often do we drop that seed? How often have you given up that word of God for something else? Maybe that word of God is not as comfortable for you to hold on to. You know, something is, maybe it's told you to forgive. It's not as comfortable. It's painful to the heart. You are holding it, but you are struggling to hold it. It's a small word. How often we lose it? Uncle was even telling me that he dropped his own once and he had to find it. And as soon as he found it, Ayo came to say, can I help you keep it? And it was like, praise God, help me keep it. Just something for us to think about, because think about it, it's when she asked for that seed, you know, I was so pained. She didn't know how pained I was, like, and there was a lady that was there. She came to church for the first time. And Sean asked, why did you keep your seed? The lady said, oh, I love the parable of the sower. I don't want to give my seed to anybody because I love seeds or something. Something in that line. Like, yeah, but I'm like, when they gave me the seed, I got excited. So I wasn't going to release the seed to anybody. So even when Ayo came, said, anything that has to do with a seed, like, no. The lady came to church for the first time last, and I was thinking, I've been coming to church for like a decade. Anyway, just something for us to think about. I'm just going to build on what has been said over the last few weeks. Our brother, Brother Kenola, was teaching during the prayer meeting at 12 noon, and Uncle Izipe was also blessing us. And one of the key things that he talked about is the fact that we need to pray the will of God to come to pass. The will of God would not automatically come to pass. If it will automatically come to pass, God would not have told us to pray for the will of God to be done. There's no need for you to pray for something that is automatic. It was the will of God for Israel to leave Egypt and to get into the Canaan land. But they all perished in the wilderness. Not because God didn't will it, but because the fact that God has said it does not mean that it is going to automatically come to pass. It means that you need to align every aspect of your heart to ensure that that word comes to pass. So the fact that he has said it in heaven, that yes, I'm going to take you to the Canaan land, does not mean that the Canaan land is certain. And I want us to take it from there, because Uncle Zippo was saying this evening when he was talking about us praying the will of God to come to pass, that sometimes you see what God has said to you in the last 12 days during the retreat, over the years, what God has said, and you're like, God has said this. But there's a place for us to ensure that it comes to pass. And it's not because the will of God is not powerful. The word of God is life. On its own, it can do what it can do. It can bring down mountains. It can raise a valley. It can dry the Red Sea. That's the word of God. But there's something that God has given to you and I, which is very strong. And that is your will. So no matter what God wants to do, you can decide that it is not going to be done. You and I can obstruct the will of God and insist that that will will not be done. And we do it every day. And I'm just going to quickly read. There was something that caught my attention in Jeremiah chapter 42. And I'm going to read it. And from there, we'll just flow. There are a lot of things I would probably love to talk about, but I don't think I will have the time to be able to do that. So I'm just going to quickly read Jeremiah 42, and I want you to go with me, and I want you to think about it, then I'll give the context of this. He said, "Then all the commanders of the forces, Johanan, the son of Kareah, Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, both small and great, approached and said to Jeremiah the prophet, 'Please let our petition come before you, and pray for us to the Lord your God, that is for all the remnant.'" Now, I'll just give you a background. Israel has been taken into captivity by Babylon. They've been taken into captivity, and that's it. So Babylon left a remnant in Israel, and that remnant, I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, put somebody in charge, and then somebody came around and killed that person. So here they were inquiring about the will of God. He said, "Please let our petition come before you and pray for us to the Lord your God. That is for all these remnants, because we are left but a few out of many, as your own eyes now see, that the Lord your God may tell us the way in which we should walk and the thing that we should do." That sounded right. They wanted to know the will of God. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, "I have heard you. Behold, I am going to pray to the Lord your God in accordance with your words, and I will tell you the whole message which the Lord will answer you, and I will not keep back a word from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with the whole message with which the Lord your God will send you to us, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant. We will listen to the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, so that it may go well with us when we listen to the voice of the Lord our God." Now, at the end of 10 days, Jeremiah went through 10 days of seeking God. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called for Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces that were with him, and for all the people, both small and great, and said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him, if you will indeed stay in this land, then I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you. I will relent concerning the calamity that I have inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you are now fearing. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. I will also show you compassion, so that he will have compassion on you and restore you to your own soil. But if you are going to say we would not stay in this land, so as not to listen to the voice of the Lord your God, saying no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we would not see war or hear the sound of a trumpet or hunger for bread, and we will stay there, then in that case, listen to the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you really set your mind to enter Egypt and go in to reside there, then the sword which you are afraid of will overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine about which you are anxious will follow closely after you there in Egypt, and you will die there. So all the men who set their mind to go to Egypt to reside there would die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and they will have no survivors or refugees from the calamity that I'm going to bring on them. For thus the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and wrath has been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my wrath will be poured out on you when you enter Egypt, and you become a curse, an object of horror. So verse 19, he said, do not go into Egypt. You should clearly understand that today I've testified against you. And all, and if you get to the last verse, he kept on telling them, do not go to Egypt. And the question I'm going to ask is this. For the people who came to hear the word of the Lord, can you guess what option or what was their reaction? What did they do? Chapter 43. But as soon as Jeremiah, whom the Lord their God had sent, had finished telling them all the words of the Lord their God, that is all these words, Azariah the son of Uzziah and Johanan the son of Kareah, and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah, you are telling a lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you are not to enter Egypt to reside there. But Baruch the son of Neriah is inciting you against us to give us into the hand of the Chaldeans so that they will put us to death. And in verse 7 says, and they entered the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord, and went in as far as Tapanhes. I don't know how. Anyway, look at how Jeremiah 42 started. People came with a vow to hear the word of the Lord, to listen to the word of the Lord. And one thing that caught my attention there is, a lot of times we come to God telling him that we want to do his will, that he should reveal his will to us. But he can see us from afar, the position of our heart. Because if we take another step backwards into Jeremiah 41, the last two verses in Jeremiah 41. Will probably point us in that direction. Because in that place, in the last two verses of Jeremiah 41, the people had already set their heart to go into Egypt. Now, a lot of times when we come to God, we've already set the position of our heart. We already know where we want to go to. We say we want to do God's will, but our heart is positioned to do something else. So in the last two verses, they were afraid, and they had already made up their mind, they had already gathered to go to Egypt. And then they decided to go and inquire of the Lord. And today, some of the things I just wanted to share briefly. Is about the fact that the will of the Lord is not that far. It's not that difficult. I think the biggest issue is the position of our heart. Is the position of our heart. A lot of times there are things that have happened that we have proposed in our hearts before going to God. There are some things that we have set our hearts about before we even go to God. So for some of us, we have set our hearts. I think I was saying it one of these when I was leading, that I will never be poor. So that thing is buried deep in your heart. So when you are asking God about, should I take this one that has a higher pay or this one that has a lower pay? God is already seeing you that You've already taken the decision. No matter what God says, you have already taken the decision. A lot of us come to God with a position in our heart already, and then we are hoping to hear the word of the Lord. And oftentimes, we hear something else. Because in Ezekiel, it tells us that if you come in the multitude of idols in our heart, he said he's going to answer us according to the multitude. The Bible says that to the shrewd, he shows himself shrewd. If you feel you are smart, God is going to be smart with you. So if you're looking for an answer, God is going to give you an answer. If you're looking for a particular direction, he's going to give you that particular direction. Because your will is strong. Your will is strong. Ezra 7:10. And that's where I just wanted to paint that picture to let you see the position of our hearts. Because that's the reality with myself and every person. And when Akinola was talking about the fact that we need to pray the will of God, and Uncle Zippe was talking about us praying the will of God to come to pass, that prayer is that prayer that they talked about in Hebrews 5 about Jesus praying with much supplication, with fear and trembling, because he feared that, you know, because he knew the will of God for his life was that for him to come and die for the salvation of the whole world. And he understood that if he derails that plan, he could derail the plan. So what he did was he prayed because he had a devout devotion, a fear of God, a fear of that plan that God, not the fear that we are talking about, but the fear, that fear of God to ensure that will comes to pass. And he did it with crying. Not because the will of the Father is not going to be done, more or less, but his own will can derail the will of the Father. And oftentimes what tends to happen is our will is what derails that will. So even though God wants to make you to become something, you can propose in your heart not to become that thing. Ezra 7:10, which is one of our verses, and I'm just going to take some things from Ezra 7:10. In Ezra 7:10, and I want you to just reflect, and don't be like myself and so many people in Light Church who give up the word of God. Just keep it in your heart. Keep it safe. It says, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it. He had set his heart. Another translation says he had prepared his heart. The first step in doing the will of God is for you to desire to want to do the will of God. That's the very first step. And like I said, a lot of us don't desire to want to do the will of God. We play about it sometimes. When we use some things for play, where they say, God should not send. We play mostly maybe with things like making marriage. No, God did not send that kind of man to me. I want my own Odogu, the one that is this. I want. And we play about it, but we don't know that we are conditioning and preparing and speaking into our hearts, setting a position. So on the day when there's a need to do a choice. Now, a doer, I'm just going to say this, I'm going to jump on. A doer is not somebody who is actively doing something. A doer of the word is one who has prepared his heart. So even when, before he did that word, he was already a doer. He's one who has set his heart that as soon as I hear that word, I am going to do it. So it's not the person that actually is doing something that is that doer. It's one whose heart has been prepared to do it. Because if you don't prepare, it's not the day when you're doing a word that you are actually doing it. It's not the day when you are disobeying God that you are actually disobeying God. Your heart has been prepared to disobey God. Your heart has been prepared to obey God. On the day when we fail, when we take the wrong decisions, that's not the day when we did it. The day when we failed, the day when our heart disobeyed God, was a long time ago when we set the position of our heart. So here, the Bible talks about Ezra prepared his heart. Ezra prepared his heart. And why must I prepare my heart? Because my will is very strong. If I don't prepare my heart, if I don't desire to do the will of God, I will not do it. So Ezra desired the will of God and he prepared to do it. And like I said, from the verse that I read, I just read that so that we can see our lives really. From Jeremiah 41, the last few verses, if you read it up to Jeremiah 43, you could see the replay of the things that happened when we say we really want to know the will of God, but really, our heart does not really want to know the will of God. Before a farmer plants a seed, he first of all has his heart set on what he wants to achieve. So, Pastor has been talking about the seed to the Light Church, and I happened to be there 2 weeks ago when Pastor was teaching, and he talked about the fact that if you're looking to harvest, let's say, potatoes in the UK, for example, there's a way you prepare the land for potatoes. And there are some things that you need to do, the kind of soil, the season where you're meant to prepare it for potatoes. Right. So depending on the kind of harvest that you want to have, there's a kind of preparation that you're meant to have. And like I said, the first step of preparation is desire. Because it's that desire that translates into you actually preparing. So the first question is, do I desire the word of God? I mean, the will of God. Am I looking to do the will of God? And the second thing is now, in Isaiah 43:5, it says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the highway, the way for the Lord. Make straight the desert, a highway for our God. Let every mountain be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged plains become a broad valley. He said, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. A lot of us are expecting the glory of the Lord without making preparations. A lot of us are expecting God to come with power, to come and deliver, but we are not making any preparation. Ezra prepared his heart. What are you doing? What are those high mountains? What are those things that you have proposed? Those no-go areas that you've set, like, they're like, you've set it for God. Like, this is a no-no. And a lot of us have, some of us have those no-go areas with God. It's like, God, don't try me in this area. For some of us, it's my finance. God, don't try me with money. Don't just try me with money. I just don't like poverty. Just keep me okay. For some of us, it's our pride. Don't just try me with that pride. I can take anything, but don't just talk to me anyhow. I don't like people talking to me anyhow. For some of us, we don't like people correcting us. It's a no-no for us. And God is asking us in this season that for you to be able to do my will, for my glory to be revealed in your life, the highway must be pulled down, the valley must be brought up. Why? Because if you don't do that, the glory of the Lord will not come. So oftentimes, the will of God, we've seen it. God has shown us his will in the last 12 days. We've written, and a lot of things are happening. And God is saying, yes, I really want to do those things, but there's a preparation that needs to come. Because before the seed, which is the word of the Lord, can come and come onto a good soil, there must be a preparation. Or else it's going to fall on the hard heart. And what happens? The bird will pick it up. It could fall on a rocky land. And then He rejoices for a while because of that word. But when tribulation comes, it dies out. Something that Shofumi mentioned on Sunday. Sorry, I'm preaching with the Light Church. Sorry, you guys blessed me so much. And he was talking about the fact that for the word of God to be able to have an effect in your life, it has to be buried deep. He said the reason why when the sun comes, and I just remembered because I grew up planting things all my life. I grew up on the farm, gardening, planting, farming. Typically, in the tropical region, you don't wet the plants during the day because of the sun. You wet it very early in the morning before the sun comes up, or late in the evening when it's cool. Or else, that water will become the problem, because when the sun comes up, he heats up that water, and that water now becomes something that kills the roots. Now, she was saying that if you plant the seed of God's word not so deep, when the sun comes, it dries up to a point. And you can always see it in no matter how dry the summer is in the UK, the whole whatever will be dry. But as you dig a little bit, you get to the part of the soil where there's moisture. A lot of us have planted some other purposes apart from the word of God deep. But the word of God, we've kept it shallow, where when the sun comes, it kills it out. How far have you gone in preparing to dig that word of God deep, such that no matter what? And what have you done to be able to uproot those roots of bitterness that springs up to defile us? They are hidden. Everywhere looks clean, but there's a root of bitterness. There's a root of strife. There's a root of covetousness. There's a root of, I want to be better than my whatever. I need to look better. I need to look made up. People must not see me in this way. Buried deep. Farther than where the word of the Lord is buried. In our hearts. And today, it's for every one of us, for us to reflect. Because that preparation, it's you and I that have to do it. And that's why the will of God does not happen. And then if you go on to Daniel, Uncle was talking about the knowledge of good and evil, which actually is the center of our will, is what we've consumed. Part of the preparation is you watching what you have consumed, what you have taken in. I think in Daniel chapter 1, was talking about the fact that they proposed in their heart, they prepared their hearts not to defile themselves with a portion of the king's table. And we understand by the type that this is not just food. It's not just physical food. Do you know why it's not just physical food? Because God has already given a commandment concerning food. Now, let me explain the hypocrisy of the people in Jeremiah 42. You know that there's a commandment of God when he took them out of Egypt for them to never go back to Egypt. So there's a commandment, there's a will of God that has been before for them not to go to Egypt. Right? But there was fear. They feared that maybe Nebuchadnezzar would come around and probably kill them because somebody killed the guy that he put in charge. So they went back to inquire of God, even though they knew his will ahead of time. Now, Daniel here understood the word of God. So the contention is not about food. The contention was about what did God say. So, and what God said, right, in Israel is valid in Babylon. What God told you in maybe a country where you came from is valid in the United Kingdom. We often think that when we cross the waters, the Atlantic and the deserts, that the word of God changes based on where we are. So the word of God that was valid in Israel, Daniel looked at it and he said, we would not defile ourselves with a portion of the king's table. You and I are in a different land. The question is, what are you consuming? What am I consuming? What am I consuming? What am I eating? Now, when the three friends of Daniel refused to bow, and I want you to understand that these are spiritual things. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel said, "And then a man appeared to me, and I fell down, and he told me to stand up. And as he spoke to me, I stood up." And Ezekiel said, "And when I saw the man, I fell down," right? "And then he told me to stand up, and a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet." Right? Somebody said something which I found very, a pastor said something. He said that when the three friends were to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and they did not bow, and they were thrown into the fire, right? He said they could not bow because they have been faithful in something as little as what they were consuming, food. So the spirit entered into them and made them to stand on their feet. But for a lot of us, we've been consuming. Even when we say in our hearts, "I will not bow," the person said, "The weight of our tummy will pull us down and would actually bow." And that's the truth. Because the things we have consumed determines whether we will bow or not. If you look at the Israelites, manna, the food of champions, those who ate it without grumbling entered into the Canaan land. Those who ate it with grumbling and required additional things like meat, cucumber, and all those things from Egypt could not enter into the promised land. So the question is, part of the preparation, what are you consuming? These are the things that does not allow us to do the will of God. And we've understood that the will of God is not something that is out of place, it's not something that is gigantic. It's the, that was like a deep word on quiz. Like, is the old, the law and the prophets and the New Testament. It's all there. All we need is for the Spirit of God to breathe on it. So, what am I consuming? What am I feeding my mind on? And a lot of times, it's not literally, "Oh, I'm watching Netflix." Those are literal things. What is the meditation of my heart? What is the meditation of my heart? What are you consuming? Are you eating of the word? Or are you eating of the knowledge of good and evil? What is predominant in our lives? I want you to look at the actions probably that you took today and try to look at the things that influenced those actions. Was it the word of God? Or was it something that you've imbibed over the years? And God is saying, "I want my will to be done." But there's a need for preparation. There's a need for the tilling of the ground. There's a need for the removal of thorns. In Jeremiah chapter 4, it was last month when I was reading that Jeremiah chapter 4 in the Bible in a year again, that it just occurred to me that it is very, very, very possible for you to be sowing the word of the Lord on an unplowed ground. He said, "If you would return to me," return. That was in verse 1. And then he said, "Do not sow on an unplowed heart, on a fallow heart." He said, "Do not sow among thorns." A lot of times we are sowing among thorns. We are receiving that seed, really, but we are sowing it on an unprepared heart. So imagine if you're a farmer. You've not tilled the ground. You've not removed the weed. You've not done any pH adjustment. You've not put fertilizer. You've not done anything. And then you put your potatoes and you plant it. And you put your potatoes and you plant it. And then you are praying. And then you now go on for morning fire prayers, binding all your enemies, killing everybody that is all over the place. They are not your enemies. There is fire everywhere. Everywhere is smoky. Everywhere is all over the place. And you're expecting a harvest. Who are we lying to? ourselves. Because the lack of fruitfulness is due to the lack of preparation. So, if your heart is not prepared, there is going to be no fruitfulness. So, quit sowing the word of God among thorns. And what are those thorns? Jesus explained to us in Matthew. He said, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the love of other things. That love of other things caught me. You have something, but as soon as you see your neighbor has something, you love it. You have iPhone 15. It's working. It's okay. It's beautiful. As soon as 16 comes out, 15 just suddenly becomes terrible. Suddenly your heart is, you are going in the house, you are stomping your feet. You must, like, is this what my friends are using? Is this what my colleagues are doing? You have a car. As soon as that person bought a brand new car, then that car just becomes, you get, your house, normally, it was okay. It was okay. And then you went to visit somebody who just bought a new house. And then you now come to the house. What kind of house are we even living in this time? Eh? The heater itself is not. And suddenly there's complaints all over the place. The love of other things. The cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. And I said, watch what you consume. Watch what you consume. The first thing God asked Adam, he said, Adam, where are you? So that's a positional question, like, where are you? Where's your location? And then they had that stuff. And then he explained that they hid themselves because they were naked. And the first thing that God told them is that, who told you that you are naked? A lot of us, we keep telling ourselves, or we've allowed the enemy to keep telling us that we are naked. Before you went to visit that your friend, you were singing happily, you were contented with your 3-bed or 2-bed flat or whatever, until you went to visit that person and that person opened your eyes and told you that you were naked. And then you came home and realized indeed that you were naked. And then you saw that the double bed is smaller than a queen bed. There is more space there. Previously, you slept very well. You went through the Garden of Eden, which God has given you. Your home was satisfactory. The little amount that you and your husband were sharing was okay for you until you saw this person that spent it anyhow. And then suddenly you realize you're naked because you've consumed another information. So God asked them, he said, who told you that you're naked? Have you eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What are you consuming? Who is speaking into your life? And after you've done all these things, you've desired the word of God, the will of God. You've prepared your heart. You've pulled down the false things that God has planted in the heart. 2 Corinthians 10:3 was talking about that we do not war as humans war. It said we are pulling down the strongholds of human reasoning. We are removing the lies of the enemy. And you've done all of that. You've prepared. You've watched your consumption. Look at what Ezra did next. He said, for Ezra has prepared his heart. First step. Then to study. That's the eating. Study. And then the final thing is, I wrote it here. I said, do it. Do it. A lot of us, we know the word. We are full of the word. We can recount Psalm 23. Oh, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. I will fear no evil. But turn off the light in the room. You cannot enter into a dark space. You know it. You can speak it, but you don't do it. So one task I would just, these are very simple things. I mean, just simplicity of the word of God. Just looking at Ezra chapter 7. Can we just do the word of God? And like I said, a doer is the one who has a position in his heart to want to desire and to do the will of God. So I want you to ask your neighbor, why are you not doing the word of God? I want you to ask them, why are you not doing it? Just do it. For some of us, we do the word of God very well in some areas of our lives, and then in some other areas, like I said, because of some things that we've planted in our hearts regarding those areas, maybe regarding finances, God, please don't come here. Regarding our devotion, we study, we do stuff, but some areas we tell God not to come. But something caught my attention in my new role. I was sharing with Okwayo, and I'm not sure if I've spoken to Uncle Zikwe about this. And I said something. I said, so I do a bit of reviewing legal things now. Like, so I need to read terms and conditions. Previously, I never cared about terms and conditions. But now I need to read terms and conditions very well. And then something happened a couple of weeks ago where we're doing like a business with a company, and you always see it when you want to sell business to business. We would insist that our terms and conditions will govern this contract. You would insist that you want your terms and conditions to govern this contract, and then we'll have that back and forth till we come to an agreed position on the contract. And the lawyers who've been involved, we checked all the terminologies. Let me not bore you. But this company came up while we were having that wranglings, and they said, a part of our business, which is different from our own business. So it's the same company, but it's a separate business segment within our business. So company split is a global company, so it's split into, has already agreed on this contract with us. So we are looking to extend this contract to you. But this contract is not favorable to us. And this is a separate business entity. So we had to go back to say, okay, really, that's true. If they've agreed it and they're already executing it on that same project but on a separate business, so like different parts of the same whatever. So why can't we just take it? And then we went to the legal person, and the legal person said, we are two separate entities, and the fact that they've taken it does not mean that we should accept it. And I saw something very spiritual there. By the way, if they insisted that they wanted us to take that stuff, we would eventually take it. But we knew that we could push our position. But the spiritual thing there is that a lot of us enter into negotiations and terms and conditions that are different from God's terms and conditions in different areas of our lives. So we leave our finances on the side, allow the terms and conditions of the world, of the enemy, on that area. We've got the terms and conditions with God on our health. And the enemy is constantly trying to extend his position from where he is currently here to other aspects of our lives. And he has the legal jurisdiction. Because if he holds firmly a position of your heart, he can actually extend it to other aspects of your life. And I saw this happen one day with, I think, Uber Eats. where somebody signed a contract with Uber Eats, right? And then Uber Eats extended it across. So when he agreed to that stuff, they said he extends across all the other businesses. He now had an accident in an Uber, and I wanted to sue in the US. And they said, but you've accepted on Uber Eats that you will not sue. And that was valid. So even though there were two separate apps, two separate companies, they were able to extend that law across board. So the question is, in the areas where you're not doing the will of God, where you are executing a different governing contract, don't you think that the enemy has the license over every other aspect where you think you've got the terms and conditions with God? That area that you've insisted that God should not go into, that you have a different governing contract upon, be rest assured that the enemy would extend it. Because don't forget that when he came and he told Eve to eat that fruit, it was only so that it was for Eve's benefit. But he was looking to extend his kingdom, his domain, over the entirety of the human race. First over Eve, Adam, and the whole of their generation. So, in the areas where you're not doing the will of God, where there's another terms and condition that is governing it, the enemy has the right to extend it to the home. It has the right to extend it to your health. It has the right to extend it to your finances. And then you'll be like, oh, this is what God told me. But God is saying, yes, that's what I told you. But I'm the judge. This is your accuser. And he's coming and he's saying that these terms and conditions, you signed it. You agreed to it. And God is saying, that small area, that small door, that small place where you have opened up for the enemy to be able to come in, can you shut it? Just forgive. Like, just forgive. As simple as it is, can extend into your health, and the will of God will not be done in your health. That desire for gain, that desire for gain, you are always wanting to have the better of everything. The desire for gain, not desire for money this time, desire for gain, like you must not be short. We are working on the different terms and conditions. Today, I just want us to pray. Because ultimately what happened was, when you prepare your heart, when you study, you do it. And time will fail me to talk about Daniel, because after Daniel understood the will of God, what he did was to pray that will of God to come to pass. And I was realizing that even the Daniel that prayed for the things that Ezra, Nehemiah did to rebuild the kingdom, he himself did not even get back to that kingdom. He died in Babylon. But he prayed the will of God to come to pass. He partook of the things. He didn't say, God, Israel has sinned. He said, we have sinned. Even though he did not sin. And when the angel came to him, he said, the first day you set your heart, the first day, in Daniel chapter 10, he said, the first day you set your heart to do the will of God, to pray, he said, that was the day we were heard in the heaven. So, brethren, what is stopping us from setting our hearts tonight to pray so that we will be heard in the heavens? What is stopping us from changing that position, that hardened position? That position you have against your spouse, that position you have against that employer, that position you have against that parent, that position you have against that child, that person that hurts you. Lord, we are asking just want to be hearers alone. We want to have the heart of a doer. To do your will. That the enemy would no longer be extending things into our lives. Just find out that you're sick every time. And it's the enemy that is extending his own terms and conditions all over. Just going and just misbehaving across our lives. Walking through it because it has no borders. Lord, help us. We set our will today. The position of our heart. To do your will. Lord, that's our desire. That's our prayer today. We don't want to seek you in vain, oh Lord. We have gone around this mountain many times. It is time for us to move forward. Have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy, O Lord. Choose tonight, Lord, to prepare our hearts. To turn around. He said, if you return to me, then return. Lord, help us. In our hearts, we're weak. But Lord, we want to do your will. We desire to do your will. You said it starts with a desire. That's the first step of preparation. And for those who are saying, I can't really feel that desire. Lord, pour that desire into us. Because it is you that helps us to will and to do. Help us, Lord. Expound this word, Lord, in our hearts. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the adoration, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen.